Welcome to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. This is one of a series of interviews I've had with leaders and people in the network of parent choice residential private schools and programs for struggling teens. And if you're interested in that, it's on www.strugglingteens. That's one word. Struggling and plural, strugglingteens.com, where all these interviews are at. Now, I have today Dan Hanks. Dan, welcome. Good morning. It's July 8th, 2015. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. Good to talk. Looking forward to the opportunity to discuss this today.
All righty. Well, we're going to talk about learning challenges, and specifically, some people have gotten education testing, and they might come up, and I've just had this happen to me with one of my grandkids, low processing speed. And so the topic is low processing speed does not mean dumb. And that's what we're going to talk about. So could you tell me first, Dan, a little bit about what Northwest College support these types of kids and how often you get somebody that has a real low processing speed that you need to work with?
Yeah, Northwest College Support gives supportive services to students who are attending college, and our population is a group that does have learning challenges. They learn differently than other people. And I would say probably the majority, I would estimate somewhere around 75% of our population has a previous psych assessment that says low processing speed. So the majority of our students are coming through with the suggestion that they have low processing speed, and the title that those people are not dumb is quite accurate. Our population is an above average intellectually capable group, and their processing speed does not mean that they're dumb.
Okay, well, I think that's the average person has a tendency, until they study it a little bit more, to get that type of a reaction, that a low processing speed means that, because they tend to, you might ask them a question or something happens and they lag, or the teacher might ask them to, okay, give me the math answer and show your work in pencil and paper, and that's one of the things that somebody with a low processing speed has trouble with, that paper and pencil thing. And so could you define low processing speed, exactly what it means, what a parent might see that would indicate a low processing speed that needs to be dealt with?
Yeah, pretty complex concept. So processing speed, the core construct, is basically the concept that some brains process information faster than other brains. So one learner processes, or basically thinks through, information faster or fluently than another person. And when we do IQ testing, when we do testing to try to figure out what someone's learning style is, we measure their processing speed, which is inside the brain, but we measure it through outside activities. So how fast do you do a pen and paper task? How quickly can you respond to certain verbal prompts? And so that's the way it's measured. And one of the things that's interesting now is we're able to do some neurological testing where we really start to measure how quickly the brain actually fires. And we start to see that indeed some brains do process quicker than others. One of the really interesting things that I like to talk about when we're going into processing speed is that the test measurements themselves are very sensitive if a young person has issues with attention or they have issues with anxiety. So one of the biggest problems with processing speed measurements is that we get a false positive, that somebody has low processing speed, but it's due to something else. Now, you talk about that young person in the classroom who responds slower. It's really important for us to start understanding at a fine level, do they really process slower? Do they struggle with attention, focusing on the information they're being told? or do they get anxious? Do they get overwhelmed? Do they overstimulated in that classroom environment? And one of the dangers of, as we look at processing speed measurements, is as soon as we get that low score, to think automatically that the brain's going slow. And then, you know, that term, processing speed, makes it sound like the person's slow. It makes it sound like they're unintelligent. That's wholly inaccurate.
Let's me talk and ask a little bit about the anxiety. If somebody, say, they were being abused or an abusive situation, or an authoritative parent, somebody that's sort of crushing the spirit out of them, they're very anxious on that. Would that indicate in the testing, that the standard tests that are using, would that indicate a low processing speed, or would it just be he or she would be slow answering the questions?
Yeah, there's a really good chance that the person, if they're slow answering the questions, that they'll get a low processing speed score on an IQ test. So yes, if someone's has some other factors going on that are causing them to be at greater stress level, greater anxiety, maybe they have a perfectionistic way of thinking, it can lead to some really low scores on processing speed. So what I try to tell people to do is, you got to be careful when you get that result to do further assessment and try to understand the person more deeply, because you have a risk of misunderstanding the person and saying they have low processing speed, but really there's an anxiety, there's a pressure issue, there's something else going on. So we have to really be careful to kind of go further, go into greater detail, and try to understand why that score showed up. On the other hand, I don't like people to throw out the score because it can be very meaningful. So when we get that low score, we may then start to ask questions like, is this person perfectionistic? Are they having issues with attention? Do they have motor movements? Because motor movement issues cause a lot of impact on these specific tests.
All right. Well, let me. This is a particular case I'm thinking of. A 12-year-old had been in an abusive situation. Had been physically abused, emotionally abused, by a parent, and is out with a guardian. So they took him in to get a testing, the learning educational testing. When it came back, was a low processing speed of 7. What you're telling me, it might mean that the brain's firing slow, or it might mean that so much of his tension is defensive from the abusive situation that you would get that result. So how accurate are the tests? The way the test was presented to me by the tester is that this is pretty certain. This is definitely low processing speed. And sounds like you're not quite so certain.
Yeah, I'm not quite certain. When I look at the test, it sort of, we can get really fine detail when we look at specific ways that these tests measure the speed. Sometimes the test doesn't do a great job to actually be measuring processing speed. There was a great research piece done in 2013 by a few people in the study, but Blackwell, I know, was one of them. And they looked at some of the tests that are supposed to be measuring speed, and really what they found is they're measuring executive functioning. And they're really more in line with the person's ability to come up with a strategy or planning. Well, we know really well that if somebody's anxious or they're overwhelmed, they're not very good at coming up with a good strategy or good planning. You can think of yourself when you've had too much on your plate or too many things going on in your life, and then somebody asks you a question, and you may not come back with a really fast answer. It may take you a while to kind of sort through the other thoughts or feelings you're experiencing at that time.
Well, let me tell you a couple of situations in this one, because one, if you ask this kid a question, he's an immediate response, but it's a put down, but it's rather clever, but it's an immediate, it's very quick, but it's always in the negative, sort of a put down thing, like that's his default thing. That comes from the abusive situation. The other thing is that he has a hard time, he actually refuses to use paper and pencil to show his work. Like in math, sometimes they say, well, I need the correct answer, but they need to show the work. He has a hard time with showing the work. And so react to that. Those are two things that come to mind, and it seems to be contradictory.
Yeah. So when he's speaking, he's able to talk and process quickly.
He seems to be. He seems to be. He's very bright.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was one of my first times when I started questioning the construct in my own experience, and I started doing greater research on it, and I really like some of the up-to-date research on this concept, but it was due to working with some very verbally bright kids. And if we look at that construct and we see that these people are processing less fluently than the rest of the world, it just didn't match my experience, because they were coming back really quickly. They were understanding material very quickly verbally. So what that meant to me was the brain was moving quickly. When I start to look at those issues, especially like pen and paper issues or not being able to show the work, I start wondering, you know, that not being able to show the work, I wonder a lot about performance anxiety. I start wondering a lot about sometimes, especially with math problems, sometimes they can become really overwhelming because we see large sheets with lots of questions put in front of us, and that can be very overwhelming. And some people who are very good at math struggle with math when they're presented with more than one problem at the same time. So we start looking at some really kind of fine-tuned ways that we start trying to address that, and that's one of the things that's, you know, I don't throw out processing speed scores. They're really important. On the other hand, I think that they deserve finer detail, finer exploration, and I see it. I made the mistake myself in my past that I would hang my hat, as you might say, on a processing speed score and say, well, that's the reason they're having problems, because they think slower. But you know, I probably did a couple students some injustice at the time by not knowing to look further into some other testing and some other measurements to try to get a finer detail on that person. So what I would say, somebody hearing this, if you're working with a client or you have your child who gets tested and they come back with that low score, it may be worth reviewing with the examiner. Could anxiety, could perfectionism, could attention be possible answers for the reason that score was low?
Okay, well, I think the takeaway I get from that is that if a kid gets a low processing score, investigate further. It might be low processing speed, but there might be something else. Just a need to investigate further. Well, Dan, we've run a little bit over our time, but that's fine. You were on a roll, and I didn't want to interrupt. Could you take about 30 to 60 seconds, explain a little bit about Northwest College Support and how somebody might be able to get a hold of you if they had more questions?
Northwest College Support is a transitional program with a post-secondary focus for young people with learning differences and emotional challenges. We take a therapeutic approach on trying to provide education services. We have kind of a range of structured living environments to help someone really make the transition from high school to college, which is a very challenging transition, especially if someone learns differently than the general population. We actually think our program will be good for a lot of average students in the college environment as well. It can be just a difficult transition for anybody, but especially if you have any additional learning needs. Based in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and then we have a program just north of Seattle. The best way to get a hold of us is probably on our website, which is collegesupportnw.com.
All right. Well, I think you answered the question very well. Very enlightening discussion. Thank you very much, Dan. And thank you again. You've participated before, and I always learn a lot in talking to you. Thank you. You have a good day.
Very good. Thanks so much, Lon.
This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Be sure to come back for our next interview.